and welcome to another edition of the Intel Report, the National Intel Report that John Stadmiller does at this time slot between 4 and 6 p.m. Central Time. I'm Chris Gerner. It is the 13th. That's the 13th of July. Much going on as per usual. Much information on our website, AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K, not a C. We have a guest today. This is just another design to shut us up, apparently. And certainly, this has been going on for a long time. Legislation has been introduced to shut us up under certain guises. These are things that happen on a regular basis, and this is no different than the last time. It's just a little more subtle. We have Reverend Pike with us from truthtellers.org. Reverend, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
My privilege. And certainly we have a situation in our country that is most obvious and most by design. Why don't you give a little background of yourself and where we're going with our country and what the next move is going to be.
Yes, I'm the director of the National Prayer Network, and this is a Christian conservative watchdog organization. This was started around 1980 when my family, my father, and my brother and I flew an old airplane all around America to dramatize the need for a reinstatement of the National Day of Prayer, which was originally established by President Washington in 1776, but had fallen into disuse during the 20th century. And we made thousands of contacts and got the attention of President Reagan, who signed that back into law as a national institution in 1982. But as a result of all those contacts, we established a watchdog organization alerting the media and Christian conservative organizations and leaders and people concerning legislative threats on the horizon. And around the end of the 1980s, I was became very aware of the threat of so-called anti-hate laws, both in Canada and America and in the world, and began to specialize in that. Finally, in around 2001, we produced an 80-minute video documentary, which has been very instrumental in holding this legislation back.
I see. And haven't they been trying to do this off and on for years?
Well, they have. It's quite a long story. Maybe we can get into some of that dark but fascinating history today. But the main concern I have right at the moment is the big federal hate bill. This has been introduced by the Anti-Defamation League of the Nibiru, which is basically the architect of hate laws in the world. And this legislation basically means an end to free speech eventually in America.
We'll be back with Reverend Pike, listeners, and certainly I see from the U.S. State Department report on global anti-Semitism, July 1st, 2003. We'll get into that as well. We'll stay with Reverend Pike for this hour and then on with the show. We'll be right back.
Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And welcome back to the broadcast. Chris Gerner filling in for John this week. Maybe further, I'm not sure. Happy to be here. Certainly been doing this for 9 years, and it's no easier than it was the first year, understanding the big picture in place with our country. The situation is dire. I'm sorry to say, there's so much going on. Reverend Pike, continue with your direction, and certainly you're in full agreement about what's happening in our country, what's been going on in our country, and how did you first become aware of the peril that we were in?
Well, I got in touch with Chris Katzen of the old Spotlight newspaper, and got very interested in this. She sent me quite a packet of materials detailing the Hofstra conference that was held in 1988 by the ADL. Now, the ADL is part of the B'nai B'rith International, which is a huge Jewish fraternal religious educational organization. They have something like 2,300 lodges and chapters worldwide, and about one out of every 30 Jews is a member of B'nai B'rith. And she was very concerned that B'nai B'rith in Canada and in the United States was laying a real foundation for the eventual demolition of free speech in the Western Hemisphere. And what she sent me was just very chilling. The ADL had announced a national model anti-hate competition in 1988, open to all law students in America, and there was a Jewish law student from Whittier, California, Joseph Ribicoff, who won that competition. And in his proposal for an anti-hate law for America, he proposed that right-wing organizations, if they show an unapproved film, unapproved by a federal board or a state board, a censorship board, that is critical of protected groups such as homosexuals, the leaders of that group should be indicted as hate criminals. And further, if any of the perhaps thousands of members remained members of that organization, they should also be indicted as hate criminals. And so the ADL at their Hofstra conference gave him first prize. They liked that very well. And they created a model anti-hate law, first for the states, and all during the 1990s, they persuaded no less than 47 of the 50 states to adopt some version of their anti-hate law.
Well, and the ADL, groups like this, they have their marching orders, don't they?
Oh, yes. I mean, let me just explain to you the working ADL federal definition of a hate crime. In the United States, the ADL's working definition is that hate equals bias against members of federally protected groups. And therefore, if you are biased against homosexuals who are protected under ADL hate laws, then you are a hater. And if that bias is united with some kind of a crime, small or great, then that becomes a hate crime. Now, what this means in simple language is that the Bible, which is full of bias against homosexuality, calling it an abomination, is, according to the ADL's definition, hate literature. And Christians who adhere to the biblical standard thus become haters and potential hate criminals.
Isn't there a movement to abolish the Christian religion today? In the big picture in place?
The ADL has a history, along with other organizations which are dominated by evil Jewish leadership, which includes People for the American Way, ACLU, Southern Poverty Law Center, and so on. They have a history of working against Christian institutions and symbols and observances in public places. Now, they claim that this is just keeping the church separate from the state, but they are really the biggest hypocrites, the ADL, because the ADL actually has endorsement and sanction from the federal government to teach all law enforcement in the United States, Justice Department, FBI, clear down to the local police precinct, their twisted definition of hate, what is a hate crime, and how to report those so-called hate crimes to the federal government.
Well, this is kind of amazing. The congressional record from 1963, Current Communist Goals, written in The Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen in 1957, three of them right in a row. Number 26, presented homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, healthy. Number 27, infiltrate the churches and replace reviled religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Number 28, eliminate prayer or any phase of a religious expression in the schools on the grounds that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. So the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, and these other groups, the ADL is certainly the paramount one, as I can see, are a tool of the communist conspiracy.
Well, absolutely. And if we want to really look at the big picture, Chris, we just have to go back a century to the origins of Bolshevism in Russia the 1905 revolution, the 1917 revolution, and we find evil Jewish leadership financing and supporting, bankrolling Trotsky and Lenin and Kamenev, Zinoviev, Radek, Lunacharsky, all those top Bolsheviks were all evil Jewish leaders. And there is an undeniable record affirmed by such illustrious people as Henry Ford, Winston Churchill, Charles Lindbergh, and others, that these evil Jewish leaders participated in creating and abetting and financing, perpetuating Bolshevism and the whole left-wing agenda of 20th century liberalism as we know it today. So the ADL, what they're doing now in Congress in attempting to break down American institutions of free speech and morality, is nothing new. It's been going on throughout, certainly, the last several centuries.
I see. And we're talking about H.R. 2662?
That's right. The latest ADL hate bill, there's been about five of them in the last 5 years, and our National Prayer Network has been pretty much in the forefront, needling members of Congress, educating them, and attempting to get some educational program going in the public and in the media. We have managed to defeat the ADL bill every time it's come in, narrowly sometimes, and we succeeded again last fall on October 8th. The ADL reintroduced another bill on January 6th, but because there was so much flack and criticism against the ADL resulting from their attempt to arrest 11 Christians in Philadelphia last October 10th, that they weren't able to push through with it and get a lot of steam going. But now they have introduced an even more radical bill than any that has gone before it. It's called the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2005. That's H.R. 2662. And then it has a companion bill in the Senate, S-1145. Both of these have relatively recently been introduced and I believe are not assigned to a committee yet.
Now, they keep coming back because they keep introducing, as you said, it's identical, you say, to the Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2005. They just changed the name a little bit and reintroduced it.
It's actually stiffer. The bill that they introduced last spring and in the winter were milder versions, attempts to get easy passage from Congress. It didn't work. Now they seem to be quite confident that whatever kind of public reaction, they're going to bore through and try to get a really strong bill passed.
This is the amazing part that we have today. I see here, as I reported earlier, a report on global anti-Semitism from the U.S. State Department. They say, submitted by the Department of State to the Committee on Foreign Relations and the Committee on International Relations in accordance with Section 4 of Public Law 108-332, December 30th, 2004. They say anti-Semitism has plagued the world for centuries. Taken to its most far-reaching and violent extreme, the Holocaust, anti-Semitism resulted in the deaths of millions of Jews and the suffering of countless others. Subtler, less vile forms of anti-Semitism have disrupted lives, disseminated religious communities, created social and political cleavages, and complicated relations between countries, as well as the work of international organizations. For the increasing interdependent world, anti-Semitism is an intolerable burden. There's much more to this. This is a 39-page report from the State Department. Why would the State Department be getting involved in this, do you think?
Well, the anti-Semitism bill was passed last September or so. This was to set up a special department of anti-Semitism to monitor this. Of course, this reeks of the ADL. I didn't have time to thoroughly research their creation of this, but there's just reeks of them. They are trying through whatever avenues they can to involve the federal government as a police and a prosecutor of those who violate their twisted definitions of what is hate. Now, the B'nai B'rith International is a Jewish religious organization, fundamentally a religious organization which is dedicated to enlivening and encouraging a pride in Jewishness and Israel and so on. The ADL is an adjunct. It's an arm of this religious organization. And what its ultimate objectives are is to create these protected classes of people. And it succeeded in making, in Canada, the ADL has created the Canadian Hate Law in 1971, and that makes it illegal to criticize homosexuals publicly. But the eventual goal is to make it illegal to criticize Jewish matters, or the state of Israel publicly.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. We're with Reverend Ted Pike, listeners, and the website is truthtellers.org. We'll be back. 800-313-9443 is the number. 800-313-9443. The phone lines are open. Okay, we're back with the broadcast. The National Intel Report. I'm Chris Gerner. It is once again, the 13th of July. We're talking about H.R. 2662, S-1145. We're talking about the Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 1995 actually being reintroduced with a new name. And that new name is once again, what is it again, Ted? Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2005.
Yes.
The local law enforcement. Isn't that amazing how they reintroduced this with the local law enforcement? Now, I'm seeing most of this coming back to the police state, which was by design of State Department Publication 7277 from 1961. I see this as the design to bring all this about. Freedom for More. After that comes the blueprint for the peace race. And certainly, what are we embroiled in now? Homeland Security. All of these are answerable to no one, no elected officials, but they have these directions to suppress the population, to disarm the population, and once the population is disarmed, well, we certainly know what history has done to other countries when they're disarmed. We have Roger the Dodger in Pennsylvania, and the number to call listeners once again, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Welcome to the broadcast, Roger.
Thanks. And while the folks are grabbing their pencils so you can repeat that bill number and title again, just a minor mispronunciation there. That wasn't reviled religion. That was rather replace revealed religion with social religion, I believe was the phrase.
Okay.
So didn't sound quite right.
Okay.
And waiting for you to repeat that bill, and God bless you.
Thank you. Let's take DJ in Illinois. Welcome to the broadcast, DJ.
Hello. I have a question that I have not heard brought up, at least not to my knowledge. Is there anything, since CAFTA will bind us with the WTO, and there are already countries in the WTO who have enacted these kind of, quote, hate crimes, unquote, garbage. Is CAFTA and the WTO another backdoor way of ramming us through?
I'm not following what you're trying to say. You mean, in other words, passing this legislation to get CAFTA passed?
No, doing CAFTA to get this passed.
I think what she's asking, if I'm not mistaken, DJ, you're saying, is there going to be an effort internationally through the United Nations or these international organizations involved with the WTO to ram hate laws down the throats of the nations around the world without the legislative process even being consulted? Is that your question?
Oh, yes. And
uh-huh.
Not just that, but a disarmament that way,
yeah.
Registration that way. They were already putting the codex in that way.
Yes, exactly.
As well.
That's
so there are multi. It seems as though there are multi-pronged attempts to get this through.
Yes, well, as early as 1947, the Genocide Treaty attempted to do that, and the ADL, of course, was very much behind that. They attempted to define a genocide of a people as causing mental harm against people, which means very similar to the ADL definition of hate, which is to be biased and to intimidate people by criticizing them, making them feel bad, and so on. In fact, in almost all other countries besides the United States, the ADL has a very, very, very simple criteria of hate and hate crime, and that is just hurting the feelings, the emotional trauma which is caused to people such as homosexuals by Bible verses or criticizing their lifestyle. And in a Canadian court, if a person does nothing more than criticize homosexuality in specific terms on the airwaves or even on the street corner or in the pulpit, he can be indicted under Section 319 of the Human Rights Act of Canada, which is the ADL's Canadian hate law. He can be brought up for charges of being a hate criminal in their tribunal system. And the only criteria, literally the only criteria of his guilt or innocence, is whether a member of an offended group has felt hurt or emotionally intimidated by his statements. You see, so...
could actually be made up, couldn't it?
Yes, it could.
It's an accusation you can't disprove.
That's right, and I think I may have quoted on this program previously, but several years ago, I think it was 4 years ago up in Saskatchewan, a Christian, Hugh Owens, did nothing more than put four Bible verses critical of homosexuality in the local newspaper, the Star Phoenix newspaper. Two homosexuals were deeply offended by the content of those Bible verses. Owens was found guilty of a hate crime, and so was the newspaper for printing those. Both of them were fined $4,500 each. So it's what I'm having to do right now at DJ is to fight as hard as I possibly can within the sovereignty of our nation, within our legislative process, to make sure that we can stop this legislation before it gets set in concrete like Roe versus Wade. But yes, you're absolutely right. There is a movement internationally. If everything else fails, these international forces can be brought to bear eventually and try to coerce the United States into subscribing to some kind of world court hate law system.
So if it's one of those things, if we can't get you one way, we'll get you another, and we almost literally have to read every stinking bill. And
hold on, keep your thoughts in place, DJ. We'll hold you over and continue with this direction. And also understand that we have many international organizations to which advance our foreign policy. Well, I'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
And most of you realize John Stadmiller got off his motorcycle in a rather violent way, and he's recuperating, and I'm filling in for him. I'm Chris Turner. As I went to commercial pause, or as we went to the commercial pause, Kim R. Holmes, Assistant Secretary for International Organization Affairs from the State Department, made this statement. We have many international organizations in which to advance our foreign policy, and one of those is the United Nations, which is so prominent in the news today. I refer back to this report on global anti-Semitism, dated January 5th, 2005, this year, on page 4 of a 39-page report. It states, at the United Nations, the United States has supported resolutions condemning anti-Semitism both at the General Assembly and the UN Commission on Human Rights. So, yes, this is going global. In other words, the State Department is engineering the United States mission to the United Nations. We are the United Nations system, and the State Department is engineering this. Answerable to no one. This is the way I see it. DJ, we had to interrupt you in your statement as we went to pause. You want to continue?
Yes, thank you. It's impossible for one person to read all the bills, and as I have found out, even when a bill is up for vote, it may not be available on Thomas.
Right.
And
do they ever read any legislation, our legislators?
Pardon?
Do they ever read any legislation?
Well, our congressman, the congressman office that I have, Congressman Manzullo, they say that yes, they do. No, I don't.
They probably have assistants that read it and give them reports,
yes,
about what's in it.
I don't know that it would be possible for one person to read everything. I think that it is deliberate. I know it's deliberate.
You're right.
From all sides.
Right on the money.
And then to deluge, it's the same tactic that's used on the border by the coyotes to deluge the border patrol. It's the same tactics that's used spiritually. It just is.
Yes.
One thing I would like to say is, now, because of this McCain-Feingold bill, that went through limiting PAC groups or nonprofit organizations under threat of losing their nonprofit status as a 501c4. I do not belong to any organization, and I make that very clear. So I can call them up anytime prior to election.
Okay.
And while I would love to belong to several organizations, especially those trying to stop the draft bill.
Yes.
And so that's something dear to my heart with a couple of kids in the military.
Well, certainly.
I will not because of that. And I also think that that's something that needs to be pushed to be repealed.
Oh, yes.
Because it's been very lopsidedly appropriated.
Well, everything's turning global in the United Nations system. That's what it's all about. The military today is the global cop for the UN system. We are taking orders from directions that implement the global government system. Wherever we go in the world, wherever we've left Bosnia, Herzegovina, Kosovo, the UN stays. They have a UN contingent in Kosovo, and I have information on that in the paper even. So I certainly appreciate your direction, DJ. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
And let's take Richard in Oregon. Richard, welcome to the broadcast, and we have Reverend Ted Pike with us. And
Hi.
The website is truthtellers.org. Go right ahead, Richard.
Yes, thank you. I have so many things I'd like to toss out there. I'll try to make this real quick and just stick to one or two, but we already have a crime in this country called assault, which is putting a person in fear of peril or injury. And, you know, so that pretty much covers anything that these people ought to be interested in. And also, I just wanted to toss that out there. But one of the other things I wanted to mention was Kamenev. You mentioned him, one of the Soviet leaders, and his real name was Rosenfeld. His name is Franklin Rosenfeld. And I'm wondering if he was related to FDR, if you know that. I mean, that's pretty far out, but it's a legitimate question I've had for a long time.
Well, I wouldn't know that. I do know that there's overwhelming evidences from Dutch intelligence, English intelligence, American intelligence, and so on, of that period, that the vast majority of all these Bolshevik leaders were Jewish, atheistic Jews, whatever you want to call them, they were Jewish, and that the funding out of Hamburg, out of London, out of New York City, the vast funding for that whole adventure in overthrowing the Tsar came from big Jewish money.
Right. Well, I knew that, but I just wanted to ask about Kamenev, because that whole movement, once you really start digging into it, it really isn't what we're told that it is, and you're right on target, and I wanted to say thank you for being out there and doing all this for us.
Well, thank you, Richard.
Okay, well, that's all I had to say then. Thank you.
Appreciate your call. The number, once again, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Kate in New York, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Nice to hear you, Chris, in this time slot.
Well, thank you.
Again. And Reverend Pike?
Reverend yes.
Pike, hey. Are you aware of the no-hide laws that George Bush Sr. put into law in 1991?
Yes, I am. I'm aware of the Noahide strictures or commandments, actually, from the Babylonian Talmud. And these are laws laid down for proselytes who are brought into Judaism, requiring that they not be idolatrous or eat blood with the meat in it and things like that. And I think that what George Bush Sr. did was to kind of toss an olive branch or make some kind of a concession or capitulation to the to Jewish leadership, dignifying this requirement of the Babylonian Talmud, this requirement of Orthodox Judaism, and kind of enshrining it as a part of our religious traditions. Like we have the Bible we swear on, we have references to Holy Scripture and so on in our religious history as a nation. And this was a dignifying of an element of Judaism.
But my concern is that if I talk about Christ, or read the Bible, they'll bring out the guillotine, just like they did in the French Revolution. And I'm very concerned about this. And I don't call this separation of church and state, because we're run by their Jewish Messiah, Lucifer.
Well, what I'm most specifically disturbed about is how that, as I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, the ADL was successful in establishing its version of hate laws on 47 out of the 50 states. And you're from New York. You certainly have probably a pretty stiff hate law there. What this means is, Kate, is that conceivably, if you have pastors, even if you have pro-lifers who offend members of federally protected groups today or tomorrow, then these same ADL hate laws, which descended on these Christians in Philadelphia, can come down on Christian activists in your state. And what we have to do is we have to shine the attention of the public on the fact that they have a potentially very persecutive system of law in their states now as a result of the ADL's secretive workings during the 1990s, which could result in real specific and traumatic persecution of Christians in the years ahead. So what we have to do is we have to repeal these ADL state hate laws. And fortunately, there is a movement in Pennsylvania now as a result of the outrageous behavior of the ADL in persecuting these Christians last fall. There's also a movement in New Hampshire to repeal the hate laws of those two states.
Well, thank you, Reverend, and I'm behind you 100%.
Thank you, Kate.
And apparently the Education Day USA, I forgot the number of it, but any violation. And it didn't say anything like this in Education Day USA, but according to the no-hide laws, any violation of the seven no-hide laws is punishable by decapitation.
Uh-huh. Well, that's right out of the Babylonian Talmud, and it is very primitive view on the Pharisaism and the fact that the Pharisees really never graduated like St. Paul and the Christian Jews. They never graduated from the rather homicidal mentality of the Old Testament law, and that had its place in the time of Joshua, I believe, and Moses, in making a place of purity within an extremely evil and pagan world. But we have to remember there was no new age of grace for the Pharisees. They kept all that, and they kept the mentality which still exists in the persecution and very abusive behavior of the Palestinian Arabs in Israel today.
Uh-huh. Well, certainly we're talking about H.R. 2662. And the phone number to Congress, and certainly that's something that needs to be done on a constant basis. You need to educate the people on the other end of the phone out there about the big direction in place. And I'm talking about all facets of it being implemented. That number is 877-762-8762.
I should mention, Chris, yeah. We also have... This is in the House Judiciary Committee in the House right now, and I do have the 11 members, Republican members of the House Judiciary Committee on my website, which is truthtellers.org. If people would like to get the names of those crucial members of the House Judiciary Committee, and not only call your own members of Congress, but to call them, encouraging them not to let this bill get any further into the legislative process.
Yeah, now, once we get on that website of yours, and certainly we're talking about truthtellers.org, where would we find that information about those legislators?
Well, we have a hate laws section there. I think it's pretty clear. My webmaster would give the best answer for that, but it's easy to find.
Under hate crimes?
And hate laws, yeah. Hate crimes or hate laws.
Okay, very, very good. Let's take, and once again, the number is 800-313-9443. We'll take Mike in Nevada. 313-9443. 800-313-9443. And hello to Mike in Nevada.
Hi, Chris and Reverend Pike.
Yes.
Great show today.
Thank you.
Reverend Pike, I heard you in a previous interview talk about how you had done some research and found that one form or another of the ADL has actually existed for over 2,000 years, and I was just flabbergasted and amazed. And I was wondering if you could expand a little bit on that and also point me in the direction of where I could do a little bit more research about this.
Well, the ADL, per se, as a so-called civil liberties watchdog organization for B'nai B'rith, has actually only existed since 1913.
Right.
But this is coming out of a Jewish religious system, which basically begins with the Pharisees. The Pharisees originated in Babylon in the first several centuries before Christ. They infiltrated Palestine, and they took over the government and the religious authority of Palestine, of the Jews in Israel. They were the accepted religious rabbinic leaders of Jesus' time, and he excoriated them in the New Testament, saying that they had made God's law of none effect. And in fact, there's a few examples in history of invective and diatribe more violent than Christ's denunciation of these Pharisees. And what happened was that after the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. and then after the Bar Kokhba rebellion in 132 A.D., the Jews pretty much had to leave Palestine and go back to Babylon, where the great majority of Jews had lived since the time of the exile under Nebuchadnezzar in 487 B.C. And these scribes and Pharisees took these perverse traditions, which Christ said were full of evil and rottenness and hypocrisy. They took all of these twisted laws and rabbinic interpretations, turning upside down the law of God and the law of Moses, and they enshrined it all in their great Babylonian Talmud. And the Babylonian Talmud is a vast, rambling work. I, of course, have that in my library, and I'm quite familiar with it. But basically, it is full of hatred against Jesus Christ, against Gentiles, and of vows to one day fulfill the great promises of the Old Testament to rule over the nations. And so when we talk about a conspiracy to strip us of our free speech and strip us of our Christian symbols and so on, we're talking about religious traditions, dark religious ambitions, which go back thousands of years to the ancient Pharisees, their desire to eliminate Christianity and basically set up their own messianic kingdom in this world.
Wow, that's amazing research, and thanks so much. I just also want to throw out one last thing there, is that I'm actually a homosexual, and I 100% support the work that you're doing, so thanks.
Well, on my website, you will find streaming video. We have four major documentaries which deal with the history and ambitions of the Pharisees and evil Jewish leadership in the world today. And I have a book, a 345-page book called Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma, which goes into exhaustive detail and documentation on the whole incredible story of Phariseeism.
Mm. I'll have to check that out.
I'll send you a copy, Chris.
Okay, great.
Okay, I appreciate that. And
thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks for your call. Yeah, that would be very, very good. Certainly, these directions are very, very obvious to our freedom, the demolishment of it, and that is my concern. And certainly, the State Department is answerable to no one. The report on global anti-Semitism is a 39-page report. We'll try and get it on our website so you can all view it and read it and absorb it. The call-in number, 800-313-9443. Before we take another call, do you have any thoughts, Reverend Pike?
Well, we have to remember that when we read the book of Acts in the New Testament, we see a program of relentless persecution by these evil Jewish leaders of the time of the apostles. They literally followed the Christians around, hailing them into court and persecuting them and whipping them and gossiping and slandering against them. This was a major persecution. St. Paul, in fact, was Saul of Tarsus, was part of that, but was miraculously converted to Christ. Anyway, this massive persecution of Christianity coming out of the false leaders in Jerusalem had to be curtailed around 120 A.D., as I say, when the whole area of Palestine was made off limits to the Jews. by the emperor. But there has always been an ambition within evil Jewish leadership someday to conquer Christianity.
We'll take some calls. John's next. 800-313-9443 is the number. 800-313-9443. And then on with the broadcast. I'm Chris Gerner. It's the 13th of July. Stay with us.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And once again, we have Reverend Ted Pike with us, listeners. The website is truthtellers.org. That's truthtellers.org. We have John in Texas. John, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks a lot. I just wanted to say that there are a lot of those, probably a majority, who call themselves Jews, but they are not. They are literally the children of Satan. And their plan is to kill or to enslave the children of God. They associate themselves with the children of Judah when it's useful, but they're not of the tribe of Judah. They're of their father, Satan. And this is a true battle that's been going on since the very, very beginning.
Hmm.
What my focus is, John, is on the demonstrable subversion, the anti-Christianity, the attempts to enslave Christianity and strip us of our free speech, which is being promulgated by evil Jewish leaders. Now, I delineate the ADL B'nai B'rith because they are very proud, especially in Canada. They are always issuing press statements, having interviews, taking credit for bringing the hate laws to Canada and basically taking away the free speech of Canadian citizens. And what I do is I call on Jews of good intention, and there are many Jews of good intention who are troubled. I just got a letter, in fact, a week ago from a PhD in the South who is an Orthodox Jew, and he said, I agree absolutely with you that the ADL and these watchdog organizations are stimulating anti-Semitism, giving the Jewish people, in a general sense, a bad name, as everybody is blaming the Jews in a collective sense. Now, I also believe, John, that God does have a long-term agenda for the nation of Israel with its proselytes. There's very rarely such a thing as a pure pedigree Jew anymore after 2,000 years of various degrees of intermarriage. But I do believe with the Apostle Paul that the Lord will come to Israel at the second coming of Christ, and out of very great tribulation, the worst suffering the Jews have ever had in history, that a remnant will believe on Christ and will be restored to faith. And therefore, my concern is for the Jewish people. And it may seem strange to hear this, but like Corrie ten Boom saving the Jews from Hitler, I am calling on the Jewish people to get out of B'nai B'rith and get out of the ADL and do what God told them to do under the prophet Jeremiah, to live at peace and seek the welfare of those nations in which they dwell during their dispersion. And they will have peace if they do that. But the Jewish people and the Jewish evil leadership, which falsely leads them on, has brought the Jewish people into the criticism and hatred, under criticism and hatred throughout the centuries, very needlessly.
I think, though, that this is an intentional thing. I think that those who are actually leading the so-called Jewish community are not, in fact, Jews, and they are, in fact, trying to stir up a lot of anti-Semitism against the Jewish people. So, in fact, that, you know, who knows, maybe another World War II or another Hitler thing will occur or something similar to that. And I believe that that is intentional, so that people will hate Jews, or that is the tribe of Judah Jews, because I truly believe that those who are leading this, things like the ADL and everything, I don't think they're of the children, tribe of Judah at all. As I say, I think they're of the children of Satan, and I think they are only using that in order to get what they want, which is the will of Satan.
John, I appreciate your phone call.
You're welcome.
Good insight. We'll be back to continue the broadcast, take a few more phone calls, and we'll keep Pastor Pike on and until nobody wants to call in any longer. We'll just continue with that direction. Stay with us.